Hey, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha, and I'm really motivated to talk about this today because of many reasons. Some I will share in future episodes, but basically, Steli and his team at Close.io did a virtual summit.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
There's about to be a car that drives by a bus, but anyways, they did a virtual summit, and it happened recently, and you had to put in your email, and then you got access to these videos about sales. I was one of the people that was interviewed, and I had a blast on my interview, and I think some people liked it, but there was a whole bunch of other people that were interviewed as well. The reason I'm really interested in this is I see a trend, and I think this can be a very rapid-fire episode like we like to do to give you a lot of value in very, very little time. And the trend I see is instead of companies doing conferences and events, they are starting to do virtual summits because they are, I'm assuming, and you could probably debate me on this really fast, but they're less logistically complicated. They can be seen by many more people, and they're probably one of the best ways to do lead generation today. And they're very emerging. I haven't seen enough companies do virtual summits. I don't think they're going to go out of style. I think they're only going to get more popular. And that's my 2-minute preamble for me to interview you about your virtual summit, because I have never done one, participated in a few, and don't understand what you do about it.
Awesome. Yeah, let's do it. So you're right. We just did the Inside Sales Summit. And for people that are curious about it, we published your interview on the Startup Chat just recently. But if people want to get access to the entire thing, you can go to the or InsideSalesSummit.com. And put in your email and check out all the interviews that we've done with over 50 people. And for us, this was a big experiment. We're going to publish a blog post very soon with kind of all our learnings and the templates we use to invite these speakers and to coordinate all these things. So happy to talk about it, share some of the learnings and some of the things we want to do next time, because we already decided we're going to do another one. And hopefully bigger and better. And so, yes, this trend is emerging. I've been invited to a number of these virtual summits as well. The idea is, instead of doing a physical conference where you invite all these speakers and you have all the people physically having to go to a certain place to go and watch these talks and participate in these sessions, you do it virtually. You record, pre-record these sessions, and then you release them over time. What we did is we did Monday to Friday, and every day we would release 10 interviews, 10 videos. So this is brand new content, brand new interviews just for the summit. Ryan Robinson did this on our team, and he did a brilliant job interviewing all the people. And so people from all around the world can just put in their email and participate and get the content, right? And for us, the reason why we did this, A, is we wanted to experiment with a format, but B, we're a remote company. We love doing things that have global appeal and impact and access. And so we wanted to experiment with this format and figure it out. So I'll start with, how should I start here? I'll start with some should be obvious, but was still surprising, you know, learning. And the biggest, most surprising learning here was that, twofold. One, people are fairly easy to get people to agree to participate in a virtual summit as a speaker, right? So it's kind of a great way to build your network as a brand, to reach out to people that are thought leaders that you admire, that work for companies you think are awesome, and associate yourself with their brand. And also to gain some knowledge from them and expose them to your audience and hopefully get some exposure to their audience for yourself as well. So it's not that hard to get people to agree to speak. We did this with 50 people. That's a lot of people. And the list of people we didn't invite is even much larger. There were people that wanted to speak, or people that we thought, they have good audiences and they are kind of well known. But, you know, if we felt like this is not somebody we want to expose to our audience because we don't truly believe in their philosophies or their ethics, or we don't really love their teachings, we shied away. Not to say that we didn't invite some speakers that we love some of the things they do, but not everything, right? So it was interesting to select the speakers. But it's fairly easy to get these people to agree to speak. So that's one thing. But the other thing is that, you know, what we did is we wanted to make sure that the speakers, and even more importantly, some of the speakers that were more partners, that they would promote the summit with us to make this a much bigger event than just an event that our audience attends to. And the unsurprising fact there is that it's easy for partners or people to agree and say, yes, we're going to promote this. Yes, we're going to send out an email. Yes, we're going to let the world know. And even to agree to say, hey, we're going to do a list share. We're going to promote really aggressively. You're going to promote really aggressively. And then all the attendees then participate. We're going to share that audience in the different marketing departments. It's easy to get people to agree to this. But then to get them to actually do the work they agree to is surprisingly hard, you know. And so a lot of people disappointed us. There were two levels of disappointment. One was that, man, you know, the grass is always greener. You think some of these people or companies have, you just assume they have this massive audience. And then when they tell you how big their audience truly is, it's kind of surprising because oftentimes it's much smaller than I thought it would be. That's one. And then two, it was much harder to actually get them to do what they promised us to do. So some of them would promise us, hey, we're going to do a dedicated email, for instance. We'll send an email to all our email lists to promote the Insight Sales Summit. And then they would just not do that. And instead,
what did they do?
Instead, they just edit it as the last item on a generic newsletter or something like that.
Did you write the copy for them?
We gave them a template copy. So we followed that advice that we both have given to founders many, many times. But I found that many did not use the copy. There were some that did, but many, because they didn't do a dedicated email, they just did a little blurb thingy.
Did you make them sign an agreement?
Yes, we did. But the first few that we make sign an agreement, we made a mistake, and I corrected that mistake in the middle of organizing the summit, and I'm very glad we did, but it still turned out to be a bad idea that we did the mistake, at least with one partner at least. So the original agreement was, you're going to do these types of promotions, we're going to do these types of promotions, and then we're sharing the list with you, right? That was the original agreement. Later, we did this with, I think, 5 or 6 partners. And then at the 7th partner, I made a correction to this. And I said, you're going to do this type of promotion. We're going to do that type of promotion. And then we are going to do a list share with you matching the amount of emails you drive to the summit. So if you bring us 1,000 subscribers, we're going to give you 1,000 on top of it back that attended the Insight Sales Summit. If you give us 10,000, we'll give you 10,000. If you give us 100 signups, we'll give you 100 emails on top of that back, right? So we'll match what you bring to the table. And that was a very, very good idea. I wish we'd done that for the first one and not just starting from the 7th partner or whatever it was. Many of these partners, they didn't do what they fully agreed on the agreement, but some of them did, and they still, the engagement on their email lists were not as great as we thought. So they would drive surprisingly little. There were two partners that drove surprisingly little signups, but then got a big list of email back from us because that was the original agreement. Unfortunately, we didn't do this with everybody, but that was the big learning. Don't just tell them, promote it to your email, and whatever we are going to do with all our other partners, we're just going to share the entire list with you, because most of them will not warrant to get that return, because what they bring to the table is just not that great. Now, having said that, there were some great partners. And some partners that I think this is a learning that I didn't anticipate. One of the beautiful things about doing a summit is you do one event, you partner with lots of companies, lots of speakers, and you see which ones really are kicking ass, which ones are keeping their word, bringing value, doing an awesome interview, driving lots of traffic and signups, and are a pleasure to work with. And so you make a mental note, which is what we did, and go, oh shit, these are 5 people or six people, we should do a lot more fucking marketing with, because they're awesome and they bring a ton of value. And here are a bunch of people that, although they seem famous and successful and they have a well-known brand, we don't want to do marketing with in the future. We don't want to do things with in the future. So it allows you to really see, look behind the scenes in a big way with a large group of people and decide who do you want to invest more time with and partner more with, because there were some awesome people and some awesome companies that really kicked ass. So it was not all bad, but it was interesting just to see, look behind the scenes on how all of these companies do promotion, how big their email lists are, how engaged the email lists are. And it's always a healthy thing. And I know you and I try to teach us oftentimes when people talk to us and they look up to us and they think we're amazing and everything is amazing that we do, is like, chill out. Things are great, but they're never as amazing as you think. And, you know, reality sometimes is not as great as it looks like from the outside. So that was an interesting learning. Moving forward for the next summit, I'll tell you this right up front. We're going to spend a lot more time on the kind of picking our promotional partners and then really investing much more time managing the promotional process. We spend most of our time actually like just doing or inviting all these people, organizing the calls and the interviews, recording the content, putting together the website. All that organizational stuff took a lot of our time and the promotional stuff took a back seat. And the next time around, now that we have experience, we already have the website, we already have kind of the structures and the processes in place. Next time around, we'll spend a lot more time on the promotional piece. And hopefully do even much, much better. But that was kind of one of the big learning lessons, is that you really have to babysit people through the promotional process. And when you do promo agreements, my learning is don't just do an agreement that says you're going to promote and then you're going to get everything. You're going to get the entire list shared of the success that we generated. It should be proportional to the success they've delivered.
Yeah. I love that model. I think honestly, like, you basically did a postmortem right now on the event. Do you have any other key takeaways that like really like stand out for you that you'd be willing to share?
Yeah.
That you're going to do next time?
Yeah. So I think, one thing we're not sure about, I'm thinking about, I don't have an answer yet, is the one thing that's missing in a virtual event that you get in a physical one is the ability to network, an ability to chat with other attendees, share some knowledge, give feedback, getting a sense of that something is truly live. It's hard to do this virtually really well. I see this sometimes when I'm participating in like YouTube live streams or Facebook live streams. And it's kind of cool because you know it's live, it's happening right now. You kind of see the comments and the number of people that are watching this with you. But oftentimes these discussions are really low quality and it's kind of more noise and scammy than really productive. So I'm not sure how to do this well, but a thing that I've been thinking about is like, how can we make this a little bit more social of an experience? The other thing that was interesting is that, you know, unsurprisingly, but still heartbreaking to a certain degree, is like, okay, you can tell that people sign up for the virtual summit, and then we would send those people every day an email kind of pitching them, hey, today here's the 10 speakers, here's the sessions, here's what you're going to learn, click here to watch the videos. And unsurprisingly, many people, watched the first day, but then although they were subscribed, I'm sure they had the best intent in mind that they wanted to watch all of it. They didn't really watch all the videos. You had a small group of people that watched tons of videos, and most people just watched one. And even I think, you know, a really big portion of the list just didn't watch a single video, right? So how do you get engagement to be much higher is another, I don't really have an answer yet, but it's definitely something I'm pondering for the next virtual summit.
Got it. I got a couple things there real quick. One, spend more time on the content and the story for each email, and turn it into actual text, not just the video or whatever, in a way where it's like I know I had some killer nuggets in mind, but they didn't show up in your email, and then obviously it's like tease them that if they watch it, they're going to get more and they'll get a transcript, right? If they click. So that's one thing, story and doing that. And then the next thing that I thought of was, consider, and I know this takes a little more tech, and we have a bunch to talk about on this, but like, I think we should end it after my thing and whatever you're going to say next, but, consider another channel besides email, such as Slack or notifications or something like that. Like Chrome, you know, like browser notifications, Chrome and Safari all have that, where they can get notified right when the next one goes live. And then the last thing I'll say is an ability to either save or bookmark it or share it with someone else, even if those that person didn't sign up for it. So all those ideas combined, I think, would lead to better engagement within the videos and stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. We try to do the emails that we were sending out on a daily basis were just like bullet points with the names and maybe the title of the subject. You're right. We could spend a lot more time really highlighting some of the nuggets and the real powerful stories that were shared in some of these talks and interviews, and I think it would make a drastic difference. I like the notification one and the Slack one. So yeah, there's a lot more that can be done there that that just didn't get to in the first run.
Like if you subject mine and said, Heaton Shah hates sales, but we got him to talk about it, that would just crush it, right?
Yeah,
like in terms of open rates and all that. I'm not saying that because it's me. I'm saying that a lot of people know who I am, and I don't talk about sales a lot, but you guys always get me to do that, right? And I'm okay with you doing that. So I don't know, just a thought for you, because that problem, I feel like anyone that does a virtual summit is going to have. So
I totally agree. Okay, so here's my last tip on this for people that are considering doing this. One is probably we're going to release this episode in conjunction with the blog post. Ryan is the person on our team that did organize the entire summit, did all the interviews, so he knows even a lot more about this than me. So we're going to link to that blog post, and you're going to get a lot of more details on the summit with numbers and all that. But the other thing is, this to me is a generic truth, but one thing that I realized with this, just like with anything else, when you do something new, if you as a company decide we want to do virtual summits as a marketing and branding tool, just don't even get started if you're not ready to do at least 4 or 5 of them, right? Don't even get started, because the first one you'll do, it will never be perfect. It will never be all it can be, and you do one thing and it has all the success in the world. You're always going to learn so much in the first run. You're always going to build, going to have to invest to build the infrastructure and lay the foundation. And if you stop after the first time you do it because it didn't do the 10 million signups that you were dreaming about, you're never going to get the ROI out of the investment of time to do something new. So for us, I think we're going to do a number of these in 2018 and really get this perfected, and then really get an ROI on all the investments that we made to get started with it. And I